Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study which evaluated femoral acetabular impingement in hip symptoms among high-level football players. Femoral acetabular impingement, or FAI, is a common radiographic abnormality, particularly among high-level athletes, but it remains unclear if FAI is related to symptoms or patient characteristics. Therefore, the purpose of this study was to assess hip radiographic abnormalities, including FAI, among National Football League prospects, and correlate these findings with symptoms, playing position, and body mass index. At the National Football League Scouting Combine, staff collected 125 players' demographic information, medical histories, as well as pelvis and bilateral hip radiographs. A player underwent hip and pelvis radiographs if a hip was symptomatic, there was a history of contusion, or the player was in an at-risk position, such as kickers or punters. A player's hip was classified as symptomatic if there was prior or current activity-related groin pain, groin strain, sports hernia symptoms, or prior surgery. A player's hip was classified as asymptomatic if there was no history of any activity-related symptoms. The authors found characteristics of FAI in 87% of the hips, but only 31% of the hips were classified as symptomatic. Symptoms were more common in hips with some form of CAM-type FAI compared to the rest of this cohort. Furthermore, as the extent of CAM deformity increased, athletes tended to report greater hip or groin pain. The authors found no relationship between FAI and body mass index, player position, or if the player was drafted. Clinically, many elite players have radiographic hip abnormalities, but most do not have a history of groin pain. This study is the second that we have reviewed on SMR that suggested that over 90% of collegiate football players have FAI. The competitive football populations are clearly more likely to have radiographic hip abnormalities. The question that remains is what to do about it, and what are the implications of these findings. In the current study, symptoms were more common in those with some form of CAM-type FAI. It would be interesting to follow these athletes over time to determine if more of these athletes eventually develop symptoms. This seems likely since a recent study found that CAM-type deformities are associated with hip osteoarthritis. Now that we are aware of the large number of football players with radiographic hip abnormalities, one lingering question is whether we should target this population to prevent the onset of symptomatic and radiographic changes. This past week, we also had three other posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first announced that the American Academy of Neurology released updated guidelines for the evaluation and management of concussion in sports. Remember, you can always count on SMR to keep you up to date on new consensus and position statements. And the second post was a report about what really happens after a concussion. The study found that among rats, inflammatory markers may be detected within 3 hours of a concussion, and other markers of brain tissue dysfunction may be detected up to 18 days after an injury. Finally, the third post reported that preseason neck pain, headaches, may be predictors for concussions among male youth hockey players. Don't forget that we also share extra material on our social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a study which found that adolescent athletes base their perceptions of recovery after concussions primarily on symptoms like headache, nausea, or vomiting, but these perceptions may not accurately reflect objective neurocognitive measures. We also reported a second study that described the effects of trunk rotation on scapular kinematics and muscle activity during humeral elevation. Additionally, we shared a popular post on the Sports Physiotherapist page that offered a review about predicting recurrent instability issues in younger patients. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.